Bibles up tonight. We'll find ourselves moving here through this masterpiece of grace in Ephesians, and tonight, chapter 2, and Lord willing, this will be the only study of chapter 2 at this time in this series that the Lord has placed on our hearts for this feeding that the Lord is giving us. And it's interesting with chapter 2 here because it's sandwiched between such glorious high water marks in the Word of God. And not that every bit of the Word of God is not a high water mark, but I thank the Lord as it started out in chapter 1. We are blessed. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And it ran us right through that we have been given that wonderful understanding and revelation of the riches of His glory, praise God, that His grace has put in us. And it's just, again, such a highlight for us. And then here on the other side of chapter 2, chapter 3, we haven't gotten there yet, but I know we've been there many a time. You're going to have joint heirs together with Jesus Christ as a husband and wife. So here we have a little old chapter 2. And what we find there, praise God, is just more of the masterpiece of grace in Ephesians. Chapter 2, praise God, we're going to read the emphasis of salvation by grace. And then we're going to read that we are His workmanship by grace. That we are made nigh to God by grace through the blood of Jesus. That He abolished the law of commandments in His flesh by grace. So there it is in a precious little, if you will, mighty nutshell, praise be to God. The masterpiece of grace must always be in constant remembrance, brothers and sisters, in constant thanksgiving that everything of us in Christ is by grace. Is by grace and grace and grace alone. Alpha, Omega, think of this. Alpha, Omega. Beginning, end. The author and finisher of our faith. Who's that? Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and read all of chapter 2 together as we begin tonight. And here we go. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. See, there's none good. No, not one. None. None, none, none. The sooner you find that out about you, then it might actually begin a life of grace. Praise God. And we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's what's going on. And it's just going on in more fervency all the time. The evil of man is waxing worse and worse. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our life in times past. Every one of us. In the lusts of the flesh, oh yeah, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who we are. That's who we are apart from God. And here it is. But God. We're in that state. That's who we were. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So we're saved, we're raised, and we're seated in the heavens with Christ. Praise be to God. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. That actually translates upon us through Christ Jesus. I love that. I love that it's toward me, but I sure love that that grace is upon me. Praise the Lord. And the exceeding riches of it. Hallelujah. He's going to show that off. Something's been working here that's going to go on over there in an exceeding way. Praise the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. Look at that. And that not of yourself. See, you can't save yourself. You can never save yourself. You can't keep yourself. And once you're saved, you can't even lose yourself. There's not a lot that yourself can do, is there? Matter of fact, nothing. And that's the truth. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boy, that just took out 99.5% of all religious activity. And that's the truth. For we're not only saved, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now we're going right back there to the beginning of Ephesians 1. Amen. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works or excellent things. See, we are created for that. Which God hath what? Before ordained that we should walk in them. And that perfectly translates that which God hath before ordained so that we walk in them. And we do walk in them, don't we? All things work together for good to them that love God. Praise the Lord. Wherefore, remember, oh yes, remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Look at that. All by the blood we've been made nigh. See all the grace upon grace upon grace in here? For he is our peace. Isn't that beautiful? He's everything. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh. Now here, really get this here, brothers and sisters. We might take a moment here right now. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. Praise God. Contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. One in him. One new man. The new man. I'm brand new. All things, those things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This new man, this, praise the Lord, one new man. And that's so making peace. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, his body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Brothers and sisters, this is pure grace. Pure grace. And it never changes from pure grace. Go on over to Colossians 2. And it just expounds on this beautiful truth of this unmerited favor and this grace and this God who is rich in mercy and in the great love wherewith he loved us. And in Colossians 2 verse 11, it says, in whom or in Christ also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. How glorious that is! Praise the Lord! The old man is dead. Know who you are in Christ. And this is who you are in Christ. Go down over here to verse 14. This is in this new man. And this is what the Lord did. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Listen to it. Receive it once and for all. That's against you, which was contrary to us. And he, what did he do? He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. He took that out of the way so it would be what? Completely grace. Think of that, completely grace. Now turn on over to Romans. Let's go over to Romans chapter 4. And I want you to think of that. Completely grace. In Romans 4, there's so many beautiful statements here, but such a beautiful statement in the second half of verse 15. For where no law is, what he took out of the way, amen, what he nailed to the cross for us, amen, where there is no law, what? There is no transgression. There's no sin. If there's no law, there's no sin. I just drove here from my house. I won't tell you how fast I came here. But there are speed limit signs. And if I go too much over that speed limit and there happens to be a police officer, first of all, I'm breaking the law and then I'm going to get punished for it. All right? So those are laws that are there that we understand that there's consequences for. But if there was no speed limit, if there were no signs, then there would be no consequences, there'd be no transgression, there'd be no sin of speeding. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now go on over, and I love this because this was Brother Tom Tabor. Last thing he wrote to me in the sense of, Brother, this has got to be the starting point of every Christian life. In Romans 10:4, you can always remember that one. 10:4. 10:4, 10:4, 10:4. Can you say 10:4 back to this? I hope you can. For Christ is what? The end of the law for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Huh? To every one that believes. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And see, Paul says there in Philippians 3 that I'd only be found having his righteousness. Amen? Not my own, which is of the law. And it's still a battle. It's a battle. That little leaven is a battle. But it's so clear that if I be found only in his righteousness, and we understand that righteousness, what we just read here in Romans 10:4, which is so beautiful, and let's read it exactly as it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And yet, so many still want to be found having their own righteousness. And somehow by showing forth in my life that I keep the law. I want to show forth in my life such love and thanksgiving that he fulfilled the law. And there is a huge difference. It is so vast that it's a difference that will keep you from either holding a palm or wearing your crown. And that is the truth. my heart is heavy. It's so clear. It's so beautiful. That's something just to thank him for. Give him all the glory. Thanksgiving reigns in your life in such joy. There'll just be a flood of love and the outpouring of the Lord willing and doing of his good pleasure in your life. Not you trying to navigate and trying to keep you. He keeps me. And I'm so thankful he keeps me perfectly. Now getting back here to verse 17 of Ephesians 2. Well, let's go back to 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace. Isn't that beautiful? To you. And see, the only way that you can have peace is grace. And the word of God, as the apostles will always, especially the apostle Paul, it's grace and peace be unto you. So you'll never have peace without grace. And that's why when Jesus Christ came, that's he that is full of grace and truth, right? So in that, what does he preach? Peace. Praise the Lord. If it's not all grace, you're not going to have all peace. When you're going to be wrestling with what you can do, I'm going to be exactly doing what that is wrestling. I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to be uptight. I'm going to be judgmental. I could be cold. I could be angry. I could be miserable. I could be a lot of different things. And all of those things are not peace. Peace rests. Peace rests. And I thank the Lord. We can rest and be confident in the Lord. So he came and he preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. And through him we both have access by one Spirit, unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly, oh, I love that, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. So this is so wonderful here, brothers and sisters. It's not by works unto salvation. It's not by works unto perfection. Amen. The measure and stature and fullness of Christ in us, the hope of glory, hallelujah, is all by his grace alone. The workmanship in us is not ours. It is his. And I love, I thank the Lord. And that, the beauty of chapter 2, just bringing us right back into the remembrance after this highlight of chapter 1 and what we've been given before the foundation of the world, chosen, predestinated, all of these different things. But then he comes back to reestablish so beautifully. It's all grace. It's just grace. Your life is grace. It's a testimony of the grace of God that is with us. And we thank the Lord for it. And I thank God we're growing in it. And I thank God we're growing together in it. See, grace, brothers and sisters, laid out every one of the good works that we walk in before anything was created. We know that. We saw that we were given, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Thank the Lord how God has shown us that in him all this was done before anything else was created. In him our life was all completely done in him. All the choosing, predestination, the inheritance, every bit of it in Christ before he made a thing. It's just glorious. See, it wasn't he made that and then brought us along. It was us. And then he made everything for it. And I just, it just Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I even think about the mansions he's building. It was the disciples, then he went to get the mansions. It was his wife, his bride, then he went to prepare a place. It was always first. It was that love first. Love first, and then everything else come after that. You see? And I thank the Lord with us. I believe that the Lord's drawn us into it. It's that love first. I said, love first. Everything else will come after it, you know. And I thank the Lord for the simplicity that is in this gospel. Brothers and sisters, we can agree that grace ordered our lives. It does. Grace orders our lives. And see, grace even, and I pray that you receive this, grace made the choice for us. And here's why. If you really, really think about grace, Paul rejoiced. He said, I did not make the grace of God vain in my life. That's what he's saying, all right? Can you do anything without grace? You can't. You can't. You need grace. You have to have grace. That's why we go boldly to the throne of grace. If you have needs, problems, which you have needs and problems, even your thanksgiving, your joy, you go boldly to the throne of grace. And it's that grace that's given, allows you, praise God, to trust grace, to believe in God's grace, that makes my choice. It truly is. I'm dependent upon his grace. You're dependent upon his grace. You may be thinking too much of you and what you're deciding and what you're doing. Trust grace. Grace is greater. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Now, be completely reliant and dependent on grace. It's always the grace of God that is with me. It's always because of that. And never be ashamed of the grace of God. Don't be ashamed of it. Amen. Because you're going to need it 24/7. Don't just be thankful for grace when you're hitting it right out of the park. Be thankful in grace when you're in a slump. When you've whiffed at every pitch time and time again and you're back in the dugout. Huh? Grace is the same. The love of God is the same. You may not feel the same, but he's the same. That's the glorious thing about our Lord. That's the glorious thing about our life. And that's, by the grace of God, what that Spirit of Christ and the quickening of the Holy Ghost in our lives does, it does the same thing it did for Jesus. He became a man. He's still very God, a very God, I understand that, but he was made a man. He was tested and tried every way that we've tested and tried. All of those things that we go through, he experienced. He was tested of that. He knows us. And I thank the Lord that it's his life that lives in us. And I'm so grateful to God for that, because that's a life of complete victory. And see, in the life of Christ, there was a lot of things that it didn't look good. Even though all of the word said all of these different things, there were still things that occurred and happened. You know, it didn't get down into the details of Peter going to deny him to his face. You know, those are very hurtful things. Those are things that, you know, just grieve your heart about things. There were things that weren't necessarily spoken of in the Old Testament, like I say, whether it was Peter or some of the other events that were seemingly very disappointing. But yet Jesus always trusted the Father. The will of the Father. That's what's going to be done. Thy will be done. And thy will be done was going to be done anyways. But see, thanks be to God that Jesus and that life that could not be disobedient always trusted the Father. I have that life in me. You have that life in you. Jesus, that obedient life. Thanks be to God that trusts the Father. I just want that grace 24/7 to realize it's the life of Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It doesn't say the faith in the Son of God. It says the faith of the Son of God. Those words mean huge things. We're talking about confidence and reliance upon the life of Jesus Christ, about being in Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Always in Him, kept in Him, hidden away in Him, encouraged in Him. Oh, Lord, help us. Brothers and sisters, we got it so made if we just get, I'll tell you what, enlightened with grace. Now, we read here a minute ago that we've been joined, and He's joined us in one body in Him. We get to chapter 5 pretty soon. You know what? He's made us bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Think of that. That's marriage talk. That's what that is. That's bridal wedlock talk. Those are marriage truths, brothers and sisters. And once again, as we go back through all of this wonderful study of the masterpiece of grace, this was chosen, predestinated, ordered, inherited by and for us all by grace before time began. Oh, I thank the Lord. I believe He's readied me to meet Him in the air. Oh, I'm thankful I know this, Aaron. I am. Velma, I'm so thankful. I thank Him for what I've known in my life about Him. But oh, I thank God how He's shown me grace. He loves you. Oh, He loves you. Oh, He loves you. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah, He's brought us this way. Now, God help us to pay attention to these words that are spoken by the Holy Ghost. I know in my life, and I can testify of this, and I think we can testify together, we hear truth, but do we really hear truth in love? See, there's a difference. There's a difference of hearing truth in love. See, that's the difference of a spouse. A spouse hears him speak to her in love. Amen. Do you hear him tell you that he's in love with you? I mean, really hear him. He's telling you that. And the Lord just give us that ear to hear. That ear to hear. And I thank God for that ear to hear in love. And as we hear him speak that he is in love with us, we fall in love with him. Yeah. How you hear him is how you'll respond. And that's the truth. People that don't know God from time to time, they might have heard God in the old time. They're fearful. You'd hear one speak of God like Moses. He'd hear him. He'd hear him and he'd respond in reverence. But then as Moses began to know him and to hear him, he responded to him as a friend. Face to face as a friend. But here now, and David was very close. The way David responded to the voice of the Lord. He was tapping on a lover of his soul. But here now we have the full assurance of faith believing that we respond to him, the very lover of our soul. And think of the words that now he has spoken to us by the Holy Ghost through the writings of the Apostle Paul. In love, joint heirs, glorified together with me. The glory that shall be revealed in you. All of those things. I know he loves me and that he's in love with me. And how that's opened up the Old Testament for us. Amen, brothers and sisters. So we see that it is all grace. We see that in all grace, it's all him. It's all him. Thank you, Jesus. It's his plan. Amen. Amen. It's the purpose, his purpose, or the purpose of his grace. Amen. Amen. It's his provision. Praise the Lord. He has given us everything. Amen. And praise be to God to accomplish it. It's his power. It is. We have full assurance. There's full assurance in the Word of God. But by the grace of God, the full assurance of believing him and not wavering. And having that full assurance be in such thankfulness and love that there's joy. And I want more joy in my life, and not joy that I could manufacture. I can't manufacture joy. I can manufacture a scene or a happy fake smile, but I thank the Lord for his joy. And the grateful heart that we can have to God for what he's given in this immensity of the riches of his glory that we are for him. And this is, again, how the joy builds, is when we come in and we rejoice and sup with him tonight. See, and what he wills to magnify, brothers and sisters, in us is himself. Christ in you, but I love this, Christ in her, the hope of glory. That's everything. It's just him. The glory that shall be revealed in us. By the grace that is in you. See, grace manifests glory. That's the truth. You can't have glory without grace. Grace manifests all the glory. And that's why she is like him, because she took all grace. That's why she has the sun glory like him, because she's taken all grace. That's why the one that's showing John around in Revelation, and John keeps bowing down and worshiping that one, is because that one took all grace and has his same glory. That's why we change from glory to glory into his image, is because of the grace of God. When we get in, this is what's so beautiful, studying a little bit more ahead. When we get to Ephesians chapter 3, right before we start talking about the joint heirship, joint heirs together as husband and wife with Jesus Christ, Paul says here, if ye heard in verse 2 of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word. And then it goes on. It was the grace of God that was given to him. It was this, and this dispensation. And that's why he is. And that's why he said to the Philadelphia church, I believe that's in chapter 1, you're partakers of my grace. My grace. This was Paul's grace that he spoke of, that he was the dispensation that he... this dispensation that was given to him, again, as this domestic or the housekeeper of all grace. It was just poured forth. And in the majesty of this all grace, the details came by the Holy Ghost of what all grace had given in beginning, what all grace had done in beginning. What all grace had done in all grace. Because Christ is where all the grace is, and he is all grace. And that's why it's grace for grace. This is grace. This is it. And I thank the Lord as we go on and we receive more and more of the grace of God. That's the transformation of that glory. Praise the Lord. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. See, and that's the beauty of it. And remember, what is that righteousness by? Faith. That righteousness is not of the law. It's not. Don't be duped and tricked into thinking that somehow something that you're going to do on the outward appearance is going to make you more holy. It'll cause you to miss this. And it will. And it's a fight always. The Lord wants to be magnified in you. Go through all of our studies, all the beautiful Gentile brides. That was the glory of every single one of them. It didn't look good. It didn't even look good after they were the bride. Because people couldn't forget about their past, how they came into it, all those different things. But the Lord brought you in. And the Lord keeps you in. That's the truth. And he just loves you. That woman at the well, those disciples, you're not supposed to go. We're not supposed to keep with them. Well, see, that's again, that outward appearance. They were looking at the outward appearance. Jesus knew the treasure in that woman's heart. He was drawn to her far more than that. And he was. I have to go to that. That's where the love is. The glory that shall be revealed in you by the grace of God that is in you. Remember we read that in Corinthians last week? That's where he put that grace, is in you. He had to put it in you. That's the transformation, and that's the transforming power. You have it. Just let it grow. Continue to receive more grace for grace. And the Lord will continue to expand this in your life. That hope of glory, you'll just continue to change right into it. And that's, again, why Paul says in Philippians 3, that I may be found in him having only his righteousness. You can equate that I only be found in him having all grace. That's what that is. Because we read earlier that the righteousness of God isn't by the law. That's taken out. That was taken away. To them that believe, it don't come by the law. Oh, no, it doesn't. And for that exalted rank of righteousness, as Paul said, that crown that's laid up for me, the exalted rank of righteousness crown, that's got to be the exalted rank of grace crown. It's exactly what that is. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Ghost who takes the things of Christ and makes them ours. Hallelujah. But that's what this is. It's all grace, and it's only him, and that's why it's all glory. And she will be to the measure and the stature and the fullness of him, just like him, son, glory. And that's what I want to close with tonight, is just to look at that. We speak of that so many times, that we would grow up into him in all things. Amen. Speaking truth in love. Amen. But that we would grow up to the measure, the stature, and the fullness of Christ unto that perfect man. Amen? All right. Well, the measure doesn't just mean maturity, but it means a vessel that measures even to the quality of him. That's word for word Greek. A vessel that measures to the quality of him. What does glorified together with him mean to you? His grace exalts you to that place. Yes, it does. And it's okay. Matter of fact, it's beyond okay. It's what his grace has done. That's why his grace is so exceeding. That's why we go into that perisuo, the hyperbolo grace. Hyper grace. Hallelujah. And that's what's so gorgeous about it. That's what these things mean. A vessel that measures to the quality of him. And to that quality of him, she will be a reigning one with him. Amen. Now, that's the measure. Here, the stature speaks of maturity. But it speaks of, specifically, the same age, the exact same age, like him in the same growth. I thank the Lord for that. See, this is the communion that he wants. This is what he desires, brothers and sisters. This faith that his grace has brought to us, this is the fellowship that he longs for. This is why he was telling even the disciples in what they would receive with him, I have many things to say unto you. See, he loved them and he wanted to communicate to them in a way that they would understand, to get them to a level of knowledge and understanding, enlightenment. Amen? But he told them specifically, you're not there. And you can't be there. And it's not going to happen on your behalf or your efforts or anything of that nature. Once again, grace. I'm going to ascend to the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. He's been with you, and he shall be in you. And praise God, once he's in you, oh yes, once he's in you, oh praise God, that's what I say. I'm thinking about that song, Latter Rain. Read you those words. Because Brother Copley was testifying of the experience after 46 years as a Christian. Then came the infilling. Then came the latter rain. And he put down the umbrella. And he soaked it in. And he never wanted to stop. And how that Holy Ghost infilling opened the door to the communion and fellowship of truth in love, power. Those were the things that Jesus wanted to visit and to talk to the disciples about. And see, that's the longing that you have. You think about the best of friends, the most confident of confidants we have in our lives. It's the people that know us the most, that really know it in a sense that we can converse with understanding, that we have like understanding. Praise God. This is what we have. Aaron and I have, we've had different work. Greg and I have different work. You know, all the different things that we've done. We can't really communicate on that, but that's temporal anyways. But we come in here in the one mind, the one spirit, the one praise, and that mind of Christ. And in the Holy Ghost with the mind of Christ, yea, the deep things of God, which the Lord allows us to have fellowship together with him. One body. One body. Yes, we experience these things in a sense individually, but I thank the Lord I see this, and I thank God he brings us into this, that we do. There's a worshiping him together. Thank you, Lord. So, we have that maturity to the same age. And finally, the fullness. And that means complete fullness. And that means that which fills or that which is filled. So when we're speaking of the fullness of him, we are that which fills and that which is filled. She completes him and he completes her. And why? This just got so exciting to my heart. Go back to Ephesians 1:23. We'll read from 22. And God hath put all things under his feet, under his son's feet. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That church is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now going over to Colossians, and we've read this many, many times. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul, in this precious dispensation of all grace, which is the revelation of the bride for Jesus, Paul says in verse 25, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, that's all grace, which is given to me for you to do what? To fulfill the word of God. That means to fill or to complete or to perfect the word of God. What was given to us through Paul was to complete and to fulfill the word of God. And who is the word of God? It's Jesus. What was given to Paul was to fill up, to complete Jesus. And you just, you thank the Lord. See, this is this fullness that he's speaking of. This is the grace, praise God, that's been appointed to us. This is the purpose of his grace. It's his wife. That's what this is. And I thank God, the fullness of all fullness in him, the completion of all fullness in him, is us, the readied wife for him. And that's what so beautiful. Without us, he has no kingdom. Without us, he would sit forever at the right hand of the Father. That is the truth. He will not take the throne until he has his fulfillment, his completion, his glory. And here we are, tired, worn out, COVID stricken.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And you know, someday soon we're going to have bodies. We're going to praise him. I'm so thankful our hearts know, though. Don't you? Aren't you thankful? And I do, I just want to love you more in it. Getting that, what Paul was after, that we love one another more and more. This desire, saints, this glory, praise God, this message that truly is the purpose of his grace. We got it. Let's continue to know it. Be reminded in it. The heed. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And I thank the Lord, somehow that Holy Ghost, not just giving us more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I thank God. I'm hearing them a little bit more. Amen? Amen. Sure love you. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.